Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, hey, you're listening to Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. Today is a chilly, chilly fall day in Brooklyn, and it happens to be Columbus Day, so happy anniversary of Mr. Christopher Columbus, of discovering the New World, that is. I don't know if it's anniversary, wedding, or birthday, but I think that would be why we're celebrating it. Today I'm joined by a couple of really rad, serious chefs at a serious, awesome New York institution of a restaurant. It is called The Darby. It is a restaurant opened by Alex Guarnaschelli, master chef, owner of Butter as well. And here are two of her chefs, sous chef Ian Hallbrox. I can't say that. And Lucas Marino, how are you?
Good.
It's nice to be here.
Well, thanks for joining me on your day off from the restaurant. You guys must be there like 6 days a week or what?
Right now we're only open five.
Oh, okay.
Which is a blessing.
But it feels like six, so.
Yeah, it feels like nine.
Because you have to prep and yeah, it feels like nine. Well, excellent work. I'm looking at the menu and just kind of drooling over it. I know that the menu online doesn't entirely reflect what's there because there's so many specials and seasonal changes to the menu. Yes. All the time. It's that kind of place.
Yeah.
So what's something tasty right now that's something that's your favorite and something that's new and exciting?
I don't know. I'll be honest. I'm not always up on the current menu exactly.
Uh-huh.
Because I just make parts of it.
Okay.
Lucas is there at night when they actually feed this stuff to people, so he could tell you.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's usually we have a lot of local stuff, so whatever comes in, we're always changing it up.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the constant things we have a lot is obviously the burrata. It's one of those things that I can't stop looking at it when I make it. And there's something about cheese inside of cheese.
Yeah.
That you just can't get away from.
Now, I heard that burrata actually has like cream injected inside it. What is it, that stuff that oozes out of the center of a soft mound of burrata?
It's pretty much a magical balloon of cheese. It's your almost like a ball of mozzarella, but before you actually have the curds to continue to make the mozzarella, you set that aside, and then when you start to form your mozzarella, you stretch it and you stuff it in with what would eventually become the mozzarella. So it's like a balloon of mozzarella with
a stage of mozzarella inside.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Like a mozzarella uterus.
Whoa. Sounds
but
good.
Much tastier.
And what do you serve that with currently?
Right now, we're getting quite a bit of very delicious heirloom tomatoes.
Nice.
Yeah, the tomatoes are out of control this season.
Yeah, they were really good.
It's a really awesome season.
Hit or miss.
Last year was not as good.
No.
I mean, they're always really good, the heirloom tomatoes from the Union Square Green Market where we get them.
Do you get them from Eckerdin?
We get them from Stokes Farms and from Cherry Lane Farms.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have like a green market forager, or who does that?
Me.
Yeah.
That's Ian here. He's our resident forager.
I go there every Wednesday and Saturday.
Cool.
And Alex over the years has, you know, introduced me to all the farmers that we deal with and sort of showed me the ropes. And now it's my job.
Cool.
But it's cool. It's one of the coolest parts of my job, I think.
Now, I hear that chefs go typically very early in the morning at Union Square to get all the good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, all the good stuff goes fairly quickly. I try and get there at like 9.
Mm-hmm.
And we also sometimes call an order, but I actually enjoy just going out there and looking at what's good and grabbing it then.
Do you ever grab like some impulse buys when you're there?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Alex is always like, you know, get some of this for Antonio. He loves, you know, kohlrabi or, you know, whatever.
And I mean, it's a treat for us in the afternoon when we come into the actual kitchen and Ian will say, hey, look what I found. And we're like, all right, we'll do something with it. So, I mean, it's a treat for him to do that for us.
Surprise. Yeah, it keeps everyone engaged.
Nice.
Yeah.
Exciting. So I actually happened to run into these folks because they participate in a lot of events. Pig Island over the summer. Lucas and Ian, I think, won each in this Name That Plant game that I was hosting over at one booth. So, and they were very well versed in plants. One of them was avocado squash, and that one pretty much stumped everyone. They're like, "What? It looks like an avocado, but it's a summer squash." And you guys came up and you were like, "Oh yeah, we cook with that all the time at the restaurant." So
yeah, I knew that from seeing it at the market. So there you go.
And that squash is amazing. I just have to say,
it's got a really nice texture.
It's like buttery, creamy.
Right. It's awesome.
So what are you going to do when the cherry or heirloom tomatoes are out of season? Because that's going to happen really soon, right?
Root vegetables.
Root veggies. And burrata?
Yeah, burrata is always available, thank goodness.
Root veggies and burrata.
Yeah.
I never thought of that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How would you prepare them?
Depends on the vegetable. Like, Alex likes to
celery root? I don't
treat
know.
Treat each vegetable separately and give it the proper care it deserves. So, like, rutabaga would get a little nutmeg and a little sugar. Celery root might be boiled and pureed, you know, whatever best suits the particular vegetable.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're heading into root vegetable time of the year.
Cauliflowers season. And cabbages, too. They're going to be big.
Right.
Yeah. We see a lot of those. I wanted to share a little article that I checked out recently, and I know you guys are chefs and not owners of restaurants, but according to article in Crain's New York Business News, and according to a study in Zagat's latest guide revealed last week, New Yorkers are now eating less in restaurants than they do at home for the first time in 30 years. So
I think that's great news, actually.
It is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. I thought you were going to be
No, I mean, it's good. I mean, I've been here in New York for about 2 years. I'm usually from Florida, which isn't a foodie place.
Mm.
And for some reason, back then, we don't go out and make a day of going out to eat.
Yeah.
And this is something that New York is really known for. People can make a day of just picking out a couple of restaurants throughout the week and actually making an event of it. Whereas now, it's taken away from people actually cooking themselves. Yeah, there's a lot of foodie people that actually enjoy the food, but if you were to tell them, can you replicate this in your home, they'd probably say, not really. I just go here specifically for this because I know I love it, but I couldn't really do it myself.
Yeah.
But now that, like you say, it's kind of changing, it's good for people to actually stay at home and kind of get into something that they love and be able to reproduce it themselves.
Right.
I think that's something that a lot of people are, you know, gearing towards nowadays.
So you see it as a positive thing.
Yeah.
Definitely. I don't think the New York restaurant scene is going anywhere. So really anything that gets people more into
food.
Just more into food is a good thing.
So maybe they'll come by and really appreciate it on a deeper level.
Exactly.
The food at the restaurants.
Yeah.
Right. Totally. I mean, it strikes a note if someone says, you know, I've made this, and then they go to a restaurant and they happen to have the same item, they just have a better appreciation of what they're actually consuming.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I feel.
Totally.
Cool. So did you guys, you're from Florida. Ian, where are you from?
I grew up in Westchester, just outside of the city.
Cool. Did you always love cooking?
I always loved eating good food.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't always know how to cook.
Right.
My mom and dad each had a few dishes that they could make really well, but they weren't big cooks either. But they took us to a lot of good restaurants, and I feel like I just learned to appreciate really good food, and then eventually I had to take matters into my own hands.
So you just decided to go for it and go to culinary school.
Yeah, I started. I actually was living at home, semi unemployed after college, and I saw an ad for a restaurant in my hometown, Larchmont, New York, for a restaurant called Plates. They were hiring someone, and it said no experience necessary, which leapt out at me. So I was like, I'll do this for a little while, maybe learn a few things, and then, you know, here we are.
So. No experience necessary. I love seeing that. Where do you ever see that? Because I was actually over hearing this conversation at this new coffee shop that opened on Smith Street, and somebody came by and was like, hey, I'd like to apply for a job. The person was like, do you have experience as a barista? It's like that. How much... Low of a, I don't know, of a, I don't know.
Well, okay. New York is starting to take its coffee much more seriously, too, which is a good thing, I think.
That's true.
So if they have to be snobs at first to start that tradition, I'm sort of okay with that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's worth it because, I mean, as coffee is coffee, but, you know, sometimes when you actually get a coffee that's made well, it's the difference. Nowadays, you go to Starbucks and all they do is press a button. Mm-hmm. And there's your coffee.
Yeah.
Whereas you go somewhere else and, you know, they take the time to, you know, grind the beans and do everything themselves. It just has a better taste. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, a good espresso can really change your morning.
Oh, absolutely.
Or yeah. Evening or whole day, frankly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Although sometimes here they do the pour over thing with the sometime coffee here at Roberta's. And it takes like 4 minutes to get your coffee. I'm like, I need
it. That's too long, damn it.
I'm just kidding. I'm just providing it. Layman's. So, that's really interesting. And so did you always, were you always inspired by food, Lucas, too? Or when did that happen?
No, actually, no. I never figured I'd be working in the industry. I actually went to school for IT, so I was big into computers. And I decided to take a little time off, and I worked on a cruise ship for a while.
Okay.
At the time, the girlfriend I had was a chef on the ship, and we were talking, and every time she would talk about food, she would talk with such a passion that it made me realize, wait, maybe there's a little more to this than, you know, what I thought was just someone in the back flipping burgers.
Uh-huh.
Every time she would cook for me or she would talk about food, there was just something in the way she looked at it, and I don't know. It just kind of sold me.
It was infectious.
It was. And I said, you know what, let me look into this. And then I fell in love with it. And here I am today.
That's cool. So you guys both kind of fell into it from different parts. And how large of a kitchen do you work at right now?
Oh, it's way too small.
Too small.
It's like a submarine.
It is.
That's like the biggest thing I hear when I try to tell people about, you know, cooking at home. They're like, well, I don't have a very big kitchen. And I'm like, well, a lot of restaurants don't either.
You don't really need a big kitchen.
You don't need a big kitchen. If you work sort of you just, smartly.
Right. You just know. Need smartly. the will to actually go through it.
The will.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to do it, you can do it.
Exactly. Right. There's always a way.
And a cruise ship, too. I mean, well, I know those things are enormous, but yeah. I would imagine it would be a little challenging with the rocking and I don't know.
Yeah. That's
potential disasters striking. I don't know. I think I have a phobia of ships. Okay, so we're just going to have a quick little musical break, and we'll be right back chatting more with the chefs at the Darby.
You're listening to Everyone is a Website by Funtronic on the Heritage Radio Network.org. We'll be right back.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surreyfarms.com.
All right, we're back on Let's Eat In. My guests are right now devouring some pizza from Roberta's. And how what do you think of it, chefs?
Oh, it's really good.
It's real good.
Really delicious. I've never been here before. I tried to come here one time on a Sunday for brunch. It was way too crowded, and I was secretly relieved because this place is so cool that I was a little bit intimidated.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Roberta's is awesome. I'm loving it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys don't do pizza. I guess you'd have to have this special oven.
Yeah, we do a flatbread.
Yeah.
Type thing. Sorry, I'll talk closer to the mic.
But you know how to make pizza? Yeah, is that something?
Yeah, I just bought a pizza stone at home, actually.
It's funny, we were bringing this up. We were just talking about it 2 days ago. He can't stop talking about his new pizza stone.
It's a lot of fun. Like all things in food, it's something you can get as deep into as you care to.
Right, absolutely.
As far as perfecting and, you know, figuring out your own way to do it.
And I think that as a town, that it's a huge trend right now in New York, pizza.
Well, it's our biggest tradition in New York City. It's pizza. Pizza and bagels, those are our two really big ones.
What are some other trends that you see happening with the food world in general? Because I know,
Well, the green market thing has been a trend for a while, which is great. It's just getting bigger and bigger, which is wonderful.
Do you see that as a trend? Like it's like maybe it's a passing phase, or do you see it as something that's here to stay?
It's here to stay.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what better way to, you know, entice the people to come to your restaurant than with stuff that, you know, you have here locally and fresh, whereas, you know, why bother ordering from a farm, you know, on the other side of the world or on the side of the country where you can get so much stuff that's here locally?
Right.
And I mean, I think that's the best way to go.
And the quality and everything is just fresher and...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you build relationships with the farmers, and if they like you as a person, they'll give you the good stuff first.
Right. How about like meats and seafood? Do you have your certain purveyors for those that you want to...
Yeah, we get our seafood from Razo. We get our lobsters from the Lobster Place. We get oysters from WTC Food. These are just purveyors that we've found give us a really good, consistent product, and we've developed relationships over the years. Alex Guarnicelli, our chef in particular, is very much about building relationships with people. You know, I think Louis Razo was at our wedding. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, because I know the Darby has, excuse me, a lot of oysters on the menu. It kind of has that old New York touch to it. And oysters are obviously a very quintessentially New York local food.
Absolutely.
So what is something that you do anew with oysters on the menu? Do I have to ask Lucas?
I mean, oysters are oysters. People will just go into a restaurant and see oysters. They'll just pick whatever they want. They'll just eat them directly.
Raw, okay. That's
the best way, I believe, to eat oysters. I'm
but
actually,
the Rockefeller, right?
I mean, the Rockefeller, it's no longer on the menu. But actually, on my current trip to Florida, I came about this new type of lime, which it's called finger lime. And pretty much it's a long lime.
Wow.
And unlike a regular lime, it's full of little beads, almost like, it looks like caviar.
Oh,
so
okay.
So what you do, you slice the lime in half, and then you have all these little caviar beads that are full with, you know, lime juice. And I thought that was something pretty cool to do with oysters, because, you know, a little citrus on an oyster always goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just put a little, aesthetically speaking, it looks beautiful to have an oyster with what looks to be, you know, caviar, which really isn't. And then just a little glass of champagne, and you call it a day.
Wow, that's great.
So, I mean, I'm
finger limes.
I've never heard of it until about a week ago.
I think I've heard of that somewhere. I'm not sure if they were shaped like a finger, but like other citrus fruits that you can kind of just like take off the little beads of very easily.
No, that was the first time. And when I saw it, I had it at a restaurant there. I thought they were using, you know, molecular gastronomy, you know, with chemicals to make little, you know, spherifications. And
nope,
when I talked, no, they're like, no, that's how they come.
Huh.
I was like, wow,
that's awesome.
I'm definitely going to need to look into that.
Nice. It's
something I definitely want to have at the restaurant.
Cool. So you guys don't really use too much molecular gastronomy techniques and crazy hydrocolloids and blah, blah, blah.
We've played on our off time. And I mean, as far as trends go, that's something that's really big. You know, you have your Wiley Dufresne here. You have your Grant down in Chicago.
Foams.
But yeah, your foams. It's something that for a while I was in love with until I actually realized at the end of the day, yes, you can grab this salmon and dehydrate it and hang it from the ceiling and take it across town and then air it back to the restaurant. And at the end of the day, it's just going to taste like salmon. So
hopefully.
It'll taste like salmon.
So
like
I mean, why not just take a piece of salmon and just make it as delicious as you think it can be and just serve it? So I mean, yeah, the whole, you know, molecular gastronomy is a cool thing as far as technique goes. But I believe if you just do something really well and simple, then it goes a long way.
Yeah, taste comes first. And
oh, absolutely.
That's it.
Well said.
That's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
Cool. So I have this question that I ask every guest on the show, and you can take your turns, but what, in your opinion, is the ultimate date meal?
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Oysters are good.
Raw on the half shell?
Yes. Yes, enough said. I think something you cook in your house is always a good way to go.
Okay.
Because you don't have to go anywhere afterwards. And,
no, your place or mine.
Yeah. You know, and food can really sort of generate goodwill in this incredible way that people maybe don't always think about. But you can really put someone in a good mood by making them a good meal.
Yeah.
And that's very, very powerful.
Right. Especially if it's on a first date and they realize that you're doing this for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree with that.
Is there any, like, menu that you can plan out? Maybe, you know?
Something light.
Something.
Something that won't weigh you down too much. Some steak. A little salad. Something simple. I don't know. You can...
Steak and salad?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
A nice bloody steak. Preceded by some oysters, maybe some sorbet for dessert. I don't know, something
basic,
light and simple, but really tasty.
Crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you do sauces with steak, or do you prefer it kind of just like straight up and salted on the outside? And
yeah, that's not
it.
A bad way to go. Maybe a little pan sauce, whatever.
Yeah.
Or this chimichurri thing I've been hearing about so much lately.
Lucas is a big proponent of chimichurri. He's got me convinced.
I'm
lately.
A huge proponent of chimichurri.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Well,
it's
the best thing ever. I'm from Argentina, so to me, that's my ketchup. I put it on just about everything.
Totally.
So, I mean, that's my thing. And I just got him into it about a week ago when I made it for family meal.
That's cool. Pretty great.
So.
And what herbs do you like to chop in there?
It's the basics.
Anything.
It's oregano, parsley, garlic, and just oil and vinegar. It's a very simple sauce. It's very efficient.
Cool. No jalapeno in there.
No. As an Argentinian, I will say get away from all that stuff that should not be in there. Because chilies aren't something that are known in Argentina. We're not big into spice since we have more Italian influence.
Right.
So mild, vinegary, garlicky, that's it.
Uh-huh. Good to know.
Absolutely.
Restaurants, though, can also set a nice mood, depending on the one you choose. So there's value in that, too.
Like the Darby restaurant down on 8th and 14th?
I didn't think of that one.
I remember going to a meal at La Grenouille, and that place is just so classy and makes you feel so well accommodated.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't there with my girlfriend, but I said, I have to take my girlfriend here.
Right.
And I haven't yet, so hopefully she's not listening, but one day I will.
So, as for the ultimate date meal, Lucas, would chimichurri be involved? Or?
No, okay. Last thing you want on a date is something that's heavy on the garlic. So, no, I mean, I agree with the whole, you know, something at your house. I mean, I would do something as simple as, you know, just doing up some fries in a bucket of mussels.
Oh, moose feet.
Yes, that's, I mean, it's hearty, it's delicious, and, you know, it's usually always a crowd pleaser.
Totally, totally.
So that's what I would go
with.
And
you would fry French fries at home?
Yeah.
Deep fryer?
No, just get a pot going.
Okay.
Yeah, that would impress anybody.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw people making fries at home?
I don't do that, but I could, I guess.
You could, exactly.
Yeah, I should.
You should. It's... I mean, aside from all the oil that's, you know, leaping out onto your arms,
yeah,
it's a good thing.
But don't you have to twice fry it to make them taste better or whatever?
Well, what's, I mean,
the, yeah, you can fry them the first time before you jump in the shower, you know?
Right.
fry them, pull them.
Right. And then, you know, when the person that you're on a date with decides, you know, it's time to finally eat, you know, you make it a joint effort and, you know, have them help you cook a little bit.
So they'll get splashed with hot oil, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're all in this together.
So they will always, I mean, they'll have marks for the rest of their lives, remember?
I mean,
even if it doesn't work out, they will always know that it was because of you that these marks are now there.
That's pretty good. Yeah, and as for the oysters too, will you do the shucking or have your date participate?
I would, you know, maybe consider having them try one and see.
Try to shuck it.
See if they enjoy it or not. Yeah. You know?
Or like, what's that movie with Swayze where they're doing the clay thing?
Oh, the
ghost. So a ghost, yeah, you'd probably
ghost, know. Ghost, but like, yeah, with oysters, yes, instead, exactly, of pottery.
Except that, yeah, I keep being told, because I'm a big proponent of, like, shucking oysters at home, and everyone is like, oh, you're just going to hurt somebody. Somebody's going to get hurt with the shucker.
Oh, you'd have to so show them how to do it with your towel and whatnot, the technique, you know.
Yeah.
But that can be sexy, too, if you teach someone how to do something.
Yeah, and there's an element of danger.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Very cool. These are inspiring notes. So, what's the best day of the week to come by Darby and try all the good stuff that you guys cook?
Oh, any day that we're open is fine. I mean, absolutely. Depends on if you want
to. Open lunch and dinner?
Just for dinner.
Okay.
Tuesday through Saturday. You know, like any restaurant in New York, it's a little busier on the weekends. It depends on what kind of scene you want, but it's mm-hmm. always good.
All right. And any, like, fall menu item that you just are dying to make soon? You're tinkering around with?
Hmm.
Chimichurri? No?
No.
I'm excited for cauliflower.
Yeah.
I think it's an underappreciated vegetable. And I always like to try and bring it to people in
Something
ways
hearty.
Maybe they haven't had it, yeah.
Like maybe like a cauliflower gratin that we did once. You know,
that's always good.
Get a couple different, you know, little Romanesco in there. A little Romanesco cauliflowers.
Crispy topping. And
yeah.
Shout out to bechamel, my favorite mother sauce. And some cheese. You can't go wrong with that.
No.
Just a veggie
right.
gratin.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
It's hearty. I wouldn't say it's healthy, but it's delicious.
I want to try yours, and then I want to try to make it myself soon.
All right.
All right. That's a deal. That's our compromise for
all
restaurants
right.
versus cooking. All right. Well, thanks again, Lucas Marino. Ian Halbachs at the Darby. Check out thedarby.com, and we'll see you next week on Let's Eat In.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.